Good day, and welcome to episode 6 of the Breezy Breakfast Radio Hour. I'm James Gordon, and I'm part of the team behind a weekly community gathering focused on raising awareness and sharing ideas about important issues that concern residents of Guelph and beyond. This week, we're looking at food security at primarily a local level. Our special guests, in a very informative and inspiring dialogue on our July 16th, 2020 Zoom meeting, were Kathy Kennedy from Our Food Future Guelph Wellington and Gavin Dandy, Directing Coordinator of The Seed. Both organizations are doing amazing work during the pandemic, finding ways for citizens to access good food right now. Kathy's group is working on Guelph Wellington becoming Canada's first technology-enabled circular food economy. We'll also hear from Nora Challoner and Amy Barnes from the Yorklands Green Hub, who are working at finding a permanent home on our old prison lands for food security activities. You'll also hear our moderator, Hina Mistry, and questions from Morgan Hanna and Tanya Gavert. Here's Kathy Kennedy to start us off.
Good morning, everyone, and it's wonderful to see some familiar faces and names on the screen, so it's great to be here. And thank you so much, Councillor Ault and Gordon, for the invitation. So I understand this is an informal chat, but I'm happy to talk to you about the Our Food Future work. So some of you may be aware of some of the information I'm going to just briefly chat about, but I'm just going to say it and then it will lay the ground, the groundwork quite well, I think, for Gavin's discussion. So in November 2017, the federal government, Infrastructure Canada, released a challenge to municipalities, and they said, come to us with a social problem that can be solved with a technological solution. So the City of Guelph and the County of Wellington joined forces with many folks around this table and the university and some businesses and the number of partners that came together to talk about what would the City of Guelph and County of Wellington's application be. So, and Gavin was instrumental in that work as well, so it's great that we get to tag team. So we determined that our place on this planet, that where we showed the best strength and where we needed to make the greatest changes, were in the food sector. So working with our partners, we created the vision to create Canada's first circular food economy. So circularity is a concept that you may be familiar with, you may not be familiar with, but really it equates to sustainable. And the current model of linear, where we take, make, and dispose of product, is not sustainable, as we know. We need to be able to create better products out of, instead of wasting it, create better products and better sustain our environment and the land in which we live. So we created the concept of a circular food economy with three broad goals: to increase access to affordable, nutritious food, to create more circular businesses and collaborations, and to increase the economic value of waste. So what that means is, what can you do with waste to make other products? Instead of putting it into landfill, as we know, municipalities are where the waste all ends up. And municipalities have a great role to play to change that system. So we put forward an application. We were one of 130 applications across the country. We were shortlisted as a finalist, and in our population category, there were only two prizes of $10 million. We were shortlisted, and then last year in May, we were identified as a winner. So we won $10 million for our community to create the vision. And most of that money, I want to point out, is out to our partners in the community. So we're working with Innovation Guelph and 10C that are working on creating some of the job prospects. Some of the funding has gone to the Seed, to the university, to public health, and Provision Coalition to realize those three goals. Within those three goals, there are 9 Pathfinder projects, and I won't bore you with the details. It's all online and on foodfuture.ca. And so we were moving along, and we really officially launched all the work. We have a Smart Cities office that's an office that was donated as a cost share or as a in-kind contribution by the County of Wellington, and we're on Douglas Street. And we officially launched in January, and then COVID happened in March, as we all know. And as a result of that, we knew that our work had to pivot somewhat for immediate response. So from that, we developed what was called the 10-point plan, Grow Back Better. And $1.6 million of the $10 million that we will be receiving over the next 5 years has been reallocated for immediate response. And so details of that as well are on our website, and I'm happy to talk about that if you have any other, if you have any particular questions about that. So with that, we're working with our collaborators to realize the vision. So that's where we're at. The funding is purely from Infrastructure Canada. We have solidified our contribution agreement with them, and we're working now with a small team internally, but a large group within the community to realize those goals. So I think I'll leave it at that and turn it over to Gavin.
Thanks, Kathy. As Kathy said, the seed has been part of this coalition, really large coalition, the Smart Cities Project, Our Food Future. And really excited to be part of that, because the goals of circular food economy and increased food security, use of food waste, more businesses engaged in good food work, more people employed, those are all really close to the core work of the seed. So some of you may know that the seed is a project of the Guelph Community Health Center. And in that way, we're unique because there are very few health centers of the hundreds of health centers across Canada. There are actually very few that have dedicated food projects. Of course, most of them have some food programs, lunch programs, things of that sort, but they don't have a project, a team of staff that are dedicated to food and food security, which is what the seed is. The seed was created after a series of conversations with many community members and several founding organizations, including the City of Guelph, University of Guelph, and Poverty Task Force, Guelph Neighborhood Support Coalition, and I'm forgetting a few others. It's early, I'm a bit bleary-eyed, that was all done in prior to 2015, and in 2015 the seed was launched, and it was decided that the Guelph Community Health Center would be the house in which the seed would operate. So our goal is to work with other agencies and individuals and partners of all kinds, businesses, government, to be one of the first communities in Canada where everyone has enough good food to eat. And that, of course, seems like a simple, basic thing on the surface, but I think most of us understand that it's actually quite complex and challenging in our current system for everyone to have enough good food to eat all the time. It's just not the way it is. And in fact, it's so different from what we're accustomed to that I think most of us, myself included, would have a hard time really imagining what that looks like. Where everyone has enough good food to eat all the time. But that is our goal, and we're focused on that exclusively to get there, again, not with the seed working alone, but with us working with many partners. So I want to talk about something that we've been doing over the last 3 months as a pivot to COVID, which I think has long-lasting potential far beyond COVID, because, of course, it's hard to imagine this, but COVID is a temporary thing, and we're going to come out the other side at some point. And I think the work that we're doing right now with partners has the potential to be very valuable to the community post-COVID as well as during COVID. So that work has been to operationalize a large warehouse, which is at 69 Huron Street near downtown. It was donated to us rent-free by Susan Frassen of the Wood Development Group in late April. And we got the keys in early May. And since then, we've been rapidly scaling up the capacity of that warehouse to receive, store, pack, and deliver food to community members. And in order to do that, it's a beautiful warehouse. It's 30,000 square feet, which doesn't really mean anything to most of us. But if you stand in there, it's, you know, it's like being a two soccer fields end to end. You know, it's got that kind of expansiveness to it. It's got four loading docks for large trucks to come in and deliver and take away food. But what it didn't have when we got it is all the equipment that we need inside. So, you know, big walk-in fridge, big walk-in freezer, racking for storing non-refrigerated food items, rolling packing lines, delivery pickup areas, floor cleaners, pallet movers, all that stuff that you might be familiar with if you've seen the inside of any warehouse. So that's been part of my job over the last few months, to find the resources to stock that, to equip that warehouse so that it can achieve maximum potential. As it stands, we have temporary cooling and temporary freezing and some temporary packing lines, and we are doing a lot of deliveries out of that space. So the seed is delivering currently to about 600 households per week and about 1,600 individuals. Our goal is to in the near future, get up to the level of 4,000 individuals per week. And that's just the seed. That doesn't include the other agencies and organizations that are using and will use the space. And I think really that's, in a way, the most exciting part of this story about the warehouse, is that it's not just about the seed. We're one of many, many food-focused organizations in the city and the county, as some of you will know. There are at least, sort of hard to count, because, you know, the definition of what a food provision agency is, you know, is debatable, but there are at least 20 agencies in Guelph and Wellington that do pretty significant food, emergency food provision work of some sort. And that alone is kind of points to one of the policy problems we've had at all levels of government forever, which is that there's never been, and still continues not to be, a clear government policy at any of the three levels of government regarding food and food security. Recently, in the last few years, there's been a lot of good work on that, including the Smart Cities Project. But we are still a long way from having a clear path forward where we have clear food services in communities, in the same way that we have clear health services and clear transportation services and clear other services. We just simply, for whatever reason, as a society, have completely failed to recognize the core need and the core value of food in health and in society and in well-being and social well-being. And I'm excited to be, I think, entering a time where certainly Guelph and Wellington, and hopefully the rest of Canada, is moving towards models that really recognize and embrace the benefits of food at all levels and ensure that food is available to people always. So this warehouse is going to be equipped in the next couple of months. We're installing large fridge and freezer in the next few weeks. I'm hoping to find another $100,000 in the next little while to buy some of the other equipment we need. Once it's fully equipped, we will have at least 10 food agencies using the space, doing similar work for different members of the community. So receiving large quantities of food, whether it's fresh, frozen, or otherwise, storing it temporarily in the big fridge, the big freezer, or on the big racking units in the warehouse, and then packing it and delivering it. And so that, I think, as I said, that collaboration of 10 organizations at least in the same space is itself a game changer for our community, because it will lead, I'm sure, to greater collaboration and hopefully lead to being a tool that we can all use to dig into the larger questions of food security. So I'll leave off by saying that we need volunteers, we need donors, and we need people to sign up to receive food boxes because not everyone knows about this service. So the one thing I was going to show you all on the screen is the webpage that contains basic information about what we're calling the Emergency Food Home Delivery Program. And that webpage also has links to how to volunteer, how to donate, and how to sign up to receive a box. So perhaps I'll send that link out to the group so that you can see it and hopefully share it with your networks and encourage people to participate in whatever way they're able to. We certainly want people who need the food to know about this program and to sign up. We certainly want people who are able and willing to volunteer to step forward, and we do need money, so donations, of course, are always fantastic.
Just before we get off that, Gavin, do you want to just mention the Harvest Impact donation piece?
Yes, thank you. So thanks to Smart Cities and the really amazing work of Julia Grady at 10C Shared Space, there's a platform called the Harvest Impact Fund, which is a community-supported fund that supports good work in food and supports the Smart City's general objectives. And that platform was launched in, I think it was late May or early June, and the Seed was chosen to be one of the first featured projects. So if you donate to the Seed and to this emergency food home delivery program that we're doing, then your donation will be matched, 100% matched through that portal. So I'll send that link out as well. Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you, both of you. That was extremely helpful. Before I call on Nora to speak, I just want to say how shocking it is, even considering how even historically Guelph has been at the center of food, like the food industry, food systems, and you know, we have so many consultants here who are involved in even just federally, nationally, globally, what food systems look like. It's surprising that even at the municipal level across Canada, we don't, like you said, we don't have some sort of organized policy relating to delivering food security as in the same way that we do health. I thought that was particularly interesting. So,
right, Hina, can I just reference that? Gavin's point is really well taken, and I think that that's what gave us an edge on our application in the first place, because food is really in our DNA, and everybody knows Guelph and Wellington as a good food community, and with the university as the leading food university, etc. And so it made sense that the funds be transferred to us to create a replicable system that others can do, because food waste is things that food waste and food insecurity is a global issue, but we're a perfect community in terms of being a peri-urban. So we've got the urban setting of Guelph, and then we've got Wellington County with our rich agricultural, to be a really great petri dish to test how can a more sustainable food system be developed and embraced by a community and shared elsewhere. So part of our work is about sharing the good stories that are coming out from stories like what Gavin has shared and other businesses that are practicing some really great some really great circular practices to reduce waste and increase food security. And of course, Gavin was quite humble in his description of what the Seed does, but they've had to do a significant shift because of the work of because of COVID, but recognizing that pre-COVID, you know, their sliding scale markets are phenomenal, the upcycle kitchen. So you know, really we have some really great models within Guelph Wellington that we can share and teach for others.
Thank you. And again, it's great to see Guelph being, I guess, taking leadership in that respect. I wanted to next call on Nora Chaloner to talk about what the Yorklands Green Hub is hoping to do around food security.
So the Yorklands Green Hub is a citizens organization, a nonprofit organization that was formed in 2013. I can't believe it's that long ago. to bring attention to the fact that the Ontario Reformatory out York Road, the former Guelph Correctional Centre as well, or present Guelph Correctional Centre, was going to be sold off at some point, and we wanted to be able to be part of that to keep an area of Guelph for food production and for renewable energy and for waste recycling, everything that would build into a food secure system. That very specific in the beginning, there was most of the interest that came to us through our membership had to do with food security and insecurity. Having a space in town where you can actually do that development is incredibly important. So we created this new kind of vision for a sustainable food center out there. It was to be embraced four pillars: the food, water, energy, and heritage, since it is a landmark heritage park within our city, and it was originally hundreds of acres. It is down to about slightly less than 300 acres that is being sold off as a parcel reasonably soon this year, and we have reason to believe. And with the Ontario Trillium Fund grant that we received before Christmas last year, we've been able to hire a professional, very experienced person who's been absolutely wonderful for helping us pull together all of the visions and the strength that we have to prepare for this time. Some people have come and gone over the years thinking this is never going to happen anyway, but we're about the production end of things and the upskilling of the community to understand how important food is, and engaging in urban production as well to support a lot of what the SEED is doing, a poverty task force, the community health center. You all have needs, but you need local producers, and we have a vision that incorporates that. I'm going to ask Amy, because I think Amy, who is our outreach and engagement operations manager.
Sorry, Nora, what would you like me to speak to in regards to?
All right, so how we pulled together the vision. You've been a tremendous support for us through our Ontario Trillium Grant. We're totally thrilled that you have been able to help us build that focus. We now are at the point where we have to be prepared to be at the table to work with whoever is going to buy this land. This land is for sale. In the beginning when we formed, we had always thought that we would only be leasing this for a long-term lease on the same basis that Algonquin Park is leased for $1 a year for 99 years. The governments have changed over the years and it is no longer done. The property will be sold to one buyer, and we don't know who that buyer will be, but we want to be able to be part of that, not be the full purchaser, because the purchase now is not just the parcel we want, which is 70 acres going up from York Road to the main buildings, but it includes all of the buildings on the property as well as the land. So Amy,
I'll pick up from there. So essentially, you know, we've had to pivot in the last 6 weeks or so, having gained this information from Infrastructure Ontario about the repackaging and sale of the lands. And so part of our pivot right now is looking at kind of two different avenues, but both of them result in the same kind of outreach, which is, I think, what we can speak to here today, is the idea that our goal is to advocate for our vision. As Nora said, food security is a major part of that, and something that always comes up when we ask them about what they see being a good use for the space, to kind of advocate in the development of the lands for the highest outcome that can help achieve that. So we have talked to, I'm sure, many of you along the way, and some are familiar faces here, about how the particular use of the lands could be of benefit to other projects. Yorklands is all about community collaboration, and it's all about shared space, keeping it open to the public and for public good. And so as part of our pivot, what we're working on right now is trying to find what interests people have in the space in a variety of ways. So how would you use the space? What would you bring to the table? How would you work together or align with us, or how can we have collaborations in that sense? And we're trying to somewhat package it into a pitch, if you will, to what's hopefully a sympathetic developer to bring that to the space. And so right now we already have many community partners who want to use and access the space. And so that becomes part of what we have to offer, which is a community voice, community good, access to the community for community projects, and really trying to leverage that. And I feel like that's something that's really important and should be seen by a developer as being a very useful tool for them. But it is a complicated site, and it is got many layers involved in it, both a heritage layer, and there's many buildings on site, those things. There's also the City of Guelph Innovation District secondary plan, which has certain obligations and certain targets to meet. And so we're trying to make sure that since we won't be the lead, we're a small nonprofit that was looking at just a small area, and now it's a much larger space that's beyond our capacity. We're looking to align with others and have those conversations potentially with developers about what we could bring and who we bring into that. So I think I'll just leave it with, please feel free to reach out to me, anyone who might have an idea or a suggestion of how you think you could be useful, or some of these projects you're working on as part of this larger initiative over here might feed into that. We're looking just to be able to talk with developers and just show them the wide variety of support and some of the long-term goals people have to potentially help them feel reduce their risk of taking on such a complicated site, knowing that there is interest and use in the site in almost immediately as it's available.
So okay. I really like how the conversation has been focusing on what's been going on locally. So with that, I wanted to ask everyone on the panel, what changes do need to take place in order to improve food security in our city? So in other words, James had a question. So what is the like federal and provincial change that we need to see, that we need to support Kathy and Gavin's work?
So OMAFRA had launched, as a result of the of COVID-19, a number of programs that provided funding to farmers to pivot some of their work. So there's a lot of support provincially at this time. And federally, obviously, with Infrastructure Canada's investment in our proposal, there's support there as well. And part of the role I had before I came onto this full time was advocacy work, intergovernmental advocacy at the city, given a long career in provincial civil service. So, myself and the executive director, Barb Schwartzentruber, and I have quite a bit of experience in advocacy work. And as Councillor Ault and Gordon, Councillor Gordon know, that's been a significant amount of the work that I was doing in intergovernmental for the municipality, is to advocate for Guelph and Wellington, both provincially and federally. So we continue to do that on this initiative, and have had meetings in Ottawa and in Toronto, and brought some of our providers, our collaborators, to those meetings to ensure that, for example, a meeting so that food waste would be considered an eligible GHG target reduction entity. So there's a lot of work that we're doing provincially and federally. And so that advocacy work goes a long way. So I would just say, continue to look for those opportunities where food, I know the federal government, we're going to be launching a food platform, a waste diversion platform. I don't know where that's at now, given the situation, but continue to explore what programming there is, and that goes a long way.
Again, Gavin, would you like to speak to this as well?
I think there are lots of ways to try to affect change in the world, and everyone has a different way of doing it. For me and our work at the Seed, it's just about doing work on the ground that and partnering with a lot of people and building momentum for ways of doing things that could be replicable or could be useful on a larger scale. So that's why I'm really drawn to the idea of Guelph and Wellington really focusing on becoming one of the first communities in Canada where everyone has enough food to eat, because that would be really noteworthy. It would be really a step forward for us as a community, and it would show others that it can be done, because this is something that has not been achievable, or we haven't chosen to achieve it up until now, which is really pretty sad when you think about all the resources we have in our community. The resources are already here for everyone to eat well every day, and for whatever reason, we haven't designed systems and created expectations of ourselves to actually make that happen. So, and then we just need to apply ourselves to that and to believe that this is a priority and to look for creative ways to do it. And I think that changes public policy. I think that gets the attention of government when you do work like that and when you show that it can be done on the ground.
Mm-hmm. And again, like, thank you so much for speaking to the work, you know, that you guys have been doing to work with, you know, folks like OMAFRA. And I guess the reason why I thought that these questions were particularly important is because, I mean, so many of the architects of the way that the food system is currently structured are based in Guelph. Like, that is what Guelph is known for. And so it's just interesting in that we're so perfectly placed to create this sort of systemic change, and that we have, like, here especially, like, in particular, we have all the tools here to do that kind of advocacy work. And I guess, I mean, perhaps you could speak to this, but, you know, it's amazing the kind of individual work and community-based work that's being done. But I wonder, I guess, what maybe the limitations to that are. It just got me thinking about that. So if you wanted to speak to that too, and then I have other questions as well.
Ina, can I just add something? When I spoke about our 10-point plan, one of the last point on that was the Grow Back Better, the 10-point plan pivot. And Gavin shared some of the information that some of the Smart Cities funding went to support the Harvest Impact Fund and the food delivery program. But as well, we're putting funding into urban agriculture strategies. So that's also a way to have, and we hope to see more information towards the end of the summer, and some funding that will allow some broad urban agriculture programs. Both at the bigger scale and at the we have a program, $5,000 for individuals. It's called the Spoon and Fork program, which I thought was really creative, to support urban agriculture. But the last point on the 10-point plan was the food resiliency table. So we have a community steering table that provides advice on the on our work. And we're having an offshoot of that will include some community representation about food resiliency. And our hope is to move that into like a food policy council, similar to Gavin's been involved in that in Toronto. So when we talk about advocating and moving some of our messaging forward, we want to develop a food policy council that will come to Guelph and Wellington that will provide advice that we can replicate elsewhere. So hoping that helps.
Thank you so much for that. Also, just pivoting back to the question about, you know, just the situation of the pandemic, I was wondering, given the work that you both or all of you are doing with regard to food security in Guelph, I was wondering, with the onslaught of the lockdown and different pandemic control measures, how has food security been affected in Guelph? Like, what has changed or what has continued or been made worse from, like, right now versus from before?
Maybe I'll just say a few things about that. The short answer is we don't know, because we don't, again, you know, because we don't have really clear goals as a society or mechanisms for understanding and solving food insecurity, we also don't have regular ways of measuring it, or reliable ways of measuring it. That's not to say we don't measure it at all, because there are measurements that happen occasionally by the federal government, which help us to understand generally how many people are food insecure. But we can't just press a button when something like COVID occurs and get an instant or fairly rapid measurement of how things have changed. So all we can do is kind of look anecdotally on the ground. And the federal government did publish a paper in May, about 5 pages long, without a lot of data, but saying basically, yes, food insecurity has increased due to COVID. There's no doubt about it. But they couldn't say exactly how much, but they did recognize that it had increased, which was great, because that then was a reason for them to put resources towards that, which I really commend. But as Kathy said, we really, at a local level, at a regional level, Guelph Wellington needs a centralized table to get together of individuals and representatives of organizations to really put our heads together and focus on this issue. And one of the things I'm sure that would come out of that, or could come out of such a roundtable, would be better measurement tools. And that is certainly one of the goals of Smart Cities, and Public Health is leading that work to develop an effective method for measuring food insecurity, and then find the resources to implement that methodology on a regular basis, so we can see how things progress or get worse with food insecurity, and we can see whether or not we're getting closer or have achieved the goal of everyone in Guelph and Wellington having enough food all the time. So things are looking really promising, but we're working with a system that is fundamentally broken, or was never even built to, it's not broken, it just wasn't built to do what we needed to do for food security purposes. So we're trying to build on scraps of things that have happened in the past and build something more comprehensive. And I think a local roundtable is exactly what's needed to do that.
And just if I can add to Gavin's point about the work that Public Health is doing as part of the circular food economy and the intervention, that they're looking to, we're going to have the baseline of, we want to increase access. We've said we will increase access by 50%. So we need to understand what was our baseline and what are we driving to. And so Public Health have some very robust targets and measurements that we will be using. And we're also working with an evaluator that will help us develop those metrics so that we can measure the movement on all three of our goals.
Okay. Thanks so much, guys. So the next question I wanted to pose to you was one that Morgan had typed in the chat, and it's for Kathy. She just asked, how much input is required from Public Health to work towards the goal of a circular food economy?
I saw that question. I don't exactly understand it. So Morgan, maybe you can just explain it, and then I can better answer it.
Morgan, if you wanted to speak to elaborate on your question.
Yeah, so basically, when you were mentioning the various organizations that received funding out of the $10 million that was awarded to the city and county by the federal government, one of the recipients you mentioned was Public Health. So that piqued my interest as to how much input is required by Public Health in order to meet the goals of having a circular food economy.
Great. Thank you for that clarification. Public Health's key focus on this is about the goal to increase the access to affordable, nutritious food. So as Gavin and I were referencing, their work is going to be to first off determine where is our where are the, develop an asset map to say where are the places that people have difficulty accessing, both physically, socially, emotionally, et cetera, and then create an action plan to increase that access. So they're working with a broad group of representation on a work stream, and they're leading that work. And while that may not be seen as circularity in terms of reducing the take, make, dispose, it's a critical component of the goal of increasing the access. Does that help? Okay, great. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Kathy. And thanks, Morgan, for that great question. So
I'm wondering if I could just, because I know that we got rudely interrupted during Nora's and Amy's presentation. I'd like to bring it back to that local food production piece, because I think they made a really great point that we need part of food security, as a lot of us understand, is local production. And I just want to tip my hat to the work that they're doing at the Yorklands, because I see if we can actually get a hold of that property and utilize it for food growing and food experiences and general health of our community, it could play a vital role in our long-term food health. I think we need three types of food production in our society in order to be healthy. Or three locations. We need food production right within the city, you know, really like on bus routes, and we need food production just around the city, which would be Yorklands and Ignatius and places like that. And then we need food production further away, and different types of food would be produced in different ways in all those three places. But we need more places, like more locations like Yorklands, to really be healthy as a society.
Okay, so thank you so much. Yeah, again, like the importance of having food production that's very pervasive and throughout the city, and throughout the food system. So I had a question. I'm going to tie my comment into a question that Phil had posed in the chat. So I was having a conversation with Kate Nixon, who does a lot of work around homelessness in Guelph. And, you know, I had asked her, who are the main, like, how is food getting to people since, you know, the COVID lockdown has happened? And she mentioned that, you know, like the Seed was one of the organizations that was doing a lot of work putting, giving food to those sort of temporarily housed in like the hotels and things like that. But I, you know, the question kind of came up in our conversation of, you know, there's a lot of different food organizations in Guelph. So there's the Food Bank, there's the Seed, there's Our Food Future. So Phil's question, just to tie into that comment, was why so many support agencies in Guelph? Could food distribution be made more effective with fewer? And how well do these different agencies work together?
Yeah, I think that is really a great question. And it points again to the reason why, in my opinion, is because I don't want to point at the government, because they're not to blame for everything. But the reality is that we don't have a government-funded central food operation in Guelph and Wellington. It's just as simple as that. In the same way, we have central education funding, we have central healthcare funding, we have central funding for keeping our roads in order, we have central funding for our other utilities, but we have failed to fund food. And therefore, out of necessity, many different organizations have sprung up to meet a need that exists. And it is not fully organized. It is disorganized, to be honest. And I've spoken to many other food agencies, people from other food agencies about this, and I've never heard anyone say, oh, it's fine the way it is, we like it. They say, you know, yeah, we would prefer it if it was more coordinated. We would prefer it if we had shared facilities and shared systems. We prefer it if we had a shared vision. But the reality is we are so busy on the ground trying to make ends meet, trying to get food to people, trying to juggle volunteers, trying to deal with incredibly limited resources, that we don't have time. We can never find the time to do that big collaborative piece. And that's just sad, right? But that speaks to a need that exists that we don't have resources to address. And so something like a round table something like a shared warehouse, the one that we're building at Huron Street, something like a shared vision of what agriculture should look like, and having all of us recognizing the value of York lands and the value of Ignatius and the value of other farmers in the county and the value of urban agriculture, that, like, we need a common vision, right? And we either are going to wait for the federal provincial government to provide funding for a ministry of food, or we're going to do it on our own and show them how it can be done, so that then they start to realize that that should be a priority for them. And I'm sick of waiting. So I want to show how we can do it in our community, and then hopefully that will encourage government to do what they need to do.
Super. And the other thing we're doing is we're going to be launching in the next little while a community engagement platform. So you'll be able to sign in if you want to know more. And we're going to be adapting more regular newsletters to give updates, because Councillor Ault and Gordon, of course, know what's going on, because we are accountable to council. But we do want more community involvement. So certainly what I'll do is, when that engagement platform is launched, I will let somebody know, and then you can all sign on if you'd like. And there'll be a sort of subscribe, unsubscribe.
So the next question that I have is, just following up on the discussion that we had, what can listeners do to improve or advocate for food security in Guelph and beyond? Again, just sort of drawing from Gavin's point about, you know, we're waiting a long time on government to do these things. Like, let's try and do this ourselves, because clearly things aren't happening at the top. But then what can the average listener who's not necessarily directly involved in your projects do to advocate and to push for these kinds of changes in government?
I guess I would say do whatever you're drawn to do. Do what you love and dig into it. There's just so many ways to be involved. There's no one solution, in my opinion. It's just about engagement. And if you're motivated to volunteer and help Chalmers to get food out to community members, or if you're motivated to, let someone use your backyard to grow food, or you're motivated to give some of the food you grow away to people, or you're motivated to write letters to government, whatever your thing is, there's room for everyone to help. And I would just say, don't spend a lot of time questioning whether your work or your ideas in food security are the right ones or significant. I would just do what, wherever you're at, small or big, it doesn't matter. It's just, I think the fact that we have so many people already engaged is an incredibly positive sign. I think despite all the kind of negative things I've said about during this meeting, I'm really hopeful about where we're heading. And I get to meet so many people in the community every day and hear from so many people who are doing amazing work, and that's what it takes to make change happen, right? Is momentum and people who are motivated, and we have that in Guelph and Wellington, and we're, you know, that's our trump card. That's our big asset as a community, and it's going to push us forward to do really great things.
We had another question from the audience, from Alf Martin, and it was to either Gavin or Kathy. Has the Seed been working with Community Food Centres Canada at all? Or I guess any other sort of like larger nationwide or province-wide efforts as well, local efforts?
Yes, when the Seed was developed as a concept in 2014, through a series of meetings and collecting ideas across the community, the Community Food Centres of Canada was one of the inspirational models that people looked at. And so ever since the Seed started, CFCC, as the acronym for Community Food Centres of Canada, has been a really important beacon for us to follow. And we have benefited from being what's called a good food organization. It's a coalition of of groups from across Canada who are kind of second tier members of the Community Food Centers of Canada. And then the first tier members, so to speak, are the food centers themselves. And I think there are a dozen or more food centers in Canada now, a few in Toronto, there's one near Cambridge, and several across the country. And the seed has always had an aspiration to eventually become a community food center. And we'll see where that goes. But either way, we are benefiting from the work that they're doing at a national level and benefiting from some of the programs and policies that they're pushing forward. And we're being funded by them currently. They've just awarded us another $50,000. I got an email this morning to buy food for the community, and we'd already received $50,000 from them in May. So incredibly influential and beneficial network and organization they are. And we also got funding from them over the last couple of years to run a program called Food Fit, which is connects food and fitness and social connections, especially for seniors and others. And so we continue to work with them, and they are fantastic.
Just related to that, one of the questions that Tanya had was, what is the seed's perspective regarding the University of Guelph taking land from Organic Urban Garden to relocate the Bee Research Center? Tanya, do you mind elaborating a bit on that, or just clarifying that question that you've sent?
Yes. So recently, the Honeybee Research Center is to be relocated. And so part of the Guelph Community Urban Organic Farming, I'm sorry, I don't know the exact name. So part of their land is going to be taken over that they use for farming. So that's what, so my question is, what does the seed think of this? Or what does anyone, any of the guests think of this move?
Well, I can speak for myself. I can't speak for the seed on this because I don't think we have a policy at the CHC about this, but I can say for me, it's sad. I've been going to that Center for Urban Organic Farming for many years. I used to take some of my farming students there for field trips, and Martha Gay Sproggins would show us around, and I really respect the work that she's done there and all the volunteers and people who have contributed to that. It's a beautiful site, and it represents a lot of hope and potential for agriculture. I don't know the specific politics involved, but I have no doubt that that's a motivating factor in all of this, not just politics, but personality. So I can't speak to that except to say that it is unfortunate that as much as I love the University of Guelph and they've helped the seed in so many ways, I think that they are still really struggling to make a transition, a really necessary transition at an agricultural department level, to tear themselves away from being pretty much exclusively focused on big agriculture and really embrace local agriculture in a significant way, not just in a marginal way. And I think the fact that there is and was some personality tensions between the people involved with the urban organic farm and the people at the administrative level of the university speaks volumes about the disconnect that exists between the kind of the worldview of agriculture that both have. And I think it's really sad that that resulted in what appears to be a real kind of erasing of what was there. And I'm hoping that something good is going to come out of it. I've heard reports that they're not going to put the Bee Research Center there. I've seen that quoted by university officials recently. So I didn't know that they were plowing it today. That's news to me. So I'll have to think about all that. But I think that really, if we're going to move forward as a community and as a world, we have to bridge this kind of silly divide between large-scale agriculture and small-scale agriculture. They're both going to be really important to our survival and health. And if we just stay in our own camps and our own factions, then it's really not going to be helpful So I think that that site has the potential to really move small-scale agriculture forward, and it should be ideally used that way.
Thank you very much.
Okay. We have, I wanted to sneak in this question. So again, like, and I've been asking this to a lot of folks who've been guests on this. Given sort of the recent conversations about, you know, just nationally and globally about examining systemic racism, you know, in different institutions, and in healthcare and, you know, other services and businesses, et cetera, downtown reopening, all that. I was just wondering, in the issues of food security and in the food system, I was wondering if there had been any sort of reflection taking place in Guelph or nationally about systemic racism in food insecurity, and what sorts of efforts might be taking place locally or nationally in order to address this problem and this sort of root of inequality in our society.
I mean, it's an incredibly deep-rooted problem, and it's going to take major work on a personal level and on a societal level for us to work to figure out how to move forward after so much has occurred. And, you know, historically, those roots are really deep, and it's not possible for humans and human society to erase that kind of historical past in a day or a week or a month or a year or even 10 years. It's a generational work. You know, you see a place like South Africa, how they try to reset the table with the Truth and Reconciliation and the work that they did there. And then the work that similar work here in Canada that was done with the Truth and Reconciliation with Indigenous people, and it's a really great start, and it's a really important tool, but it doesn't just suddenly make things better or anything. It just, it's just a journey, right? It's a long, long journey.
Mm-hmm. And I guess one of the other reasons why I wanted to ask that too is, I mean, some of the, you know, most devastating COVID outbreaks are taking place among temporary foreign workers on Canadian Southern Ontario farms as well. So I was wondering, like, even when it comes to like racism within the food system in terms of like labor and all those things too, if any sort of thought had been given to that, if anyone wanted to speak to that.
I don't think I don't believe it's inherently racist to have offshore workers work on farms. I know of farms personally that have offshore workers that are really, really treated well, treated as literally part of the family, but I do think that there are other farms where it's horrible conditions and really terrible. So I don't think it's inherently racist or has to be racist to have offshore workers. But having said that, I think it's an incredible failure of our society not to be able to work our own farms. Like, why can't we as a society grow our own food? Why do we need to bring in people from other countries? It speaks to the disconnect we have from our food and the disconnect we have from labor within the soil. It's really quite sad. And it speaks to a failure in our society that we need to bring in people to grow our food. It's as simple as that.
Well, as simple as that in a very complex area. Thanks to our guests, especially for using the word pivot only 4 times. Special thanks to the Breezy Breakfast team of Phil Ault, Dustin Brown, Tanya Givert, Hina Mystery, Sequoia Kim, and our many supporters who gather every Thursday at the unkind hour of 8 a.m. Music for the Breezy Breakfast Radio Hour is by Jules Germ. If you'd like to join us or you have any questions, email me, James Gordon, at james@jamesgordon.ca. Thank you for listening.